get started. Okay, so normally we've been doing three shilas and then taking a vote of which shilas to do, but I've been getting complaints that we never get to two out of the three shilas. So maybe we'll be less ambitious. I have three here. It's not that I'm like getting lazy on you. I actually have three that I printed out, but maybe we'll start with two, and we'll see how far we get, unless you don't like the two and you need me to suggest the third one, okay? All right. So one Shaila, a guy in the Smicha program here, came over to me today, told me that he's teaching a class at a JLIC in NYU, and it's a Gemara class, and they advertise throughout the campus, I guess, that JLIC sponsored Gemara class, and a South Korean girl came to his Gemara shir. And the way he teaches the class is he does half and half, like half the time is chavrusa, and then he gives a shir. So the South Korean girl, as far as he knows, is not a giyores. She's just interested. You know, they say that they sell a lot of art school Gemaras in Asia, that there are people that are just interested in learning Talmud. So she was interested in learning Talmud. So there are two shailas over here. The first shaila is, can you teach when there's a non-Jew in the room that is interested in learning? And second of all, when it came time for Chavrusa time, the South Korean girl turns to the firm girl next to her and says, "No, Chavrusa?" You know, it was like the Chavrusa shop that she was looking for. And is the girl allowed to learn with her? Can you learn the Chavrusa with her? So that was one shaila that came up today. Another shaila came today. A guy came to my office today and told me that he is a... Let's see, how should I... He's a singer. He sings and does chazanos or whatever for some extra money. And someone invited him to come lead slichos in shul. He got an email, come to our shul, and sounded like a very nice person that was emailing him about this shul. And, you know, and he took the gig. And when he was... Now it's Thursday, and Slichos is Matzei Shabbos. So he figures, I better figure out how to get to that shul. I need the address. So he Googles it, and it turns out that it's an open Orthodox shul. It is not a modern Orthodox shul, as he expected. It is an open Orthodox shul. So he wanted to know, does he have to cancel the gig 2 days before Slichos? What should he do? What's our attitude with davening in an open Orthodox shul? So are those good enough, or should I go with the third one? Was it good enough? Okay. So which one? Do we want the South Korean Gemara student, or do we want the open Orthodox shul slichos? All those in favor of one, please raise your hand. All those in favor of two? I think one wins. Okay, we'll try to get to both of them. Okay, so we'll start with the South Korean Gemara student. So obviously, what's the sugya over here? What's the issue? This is sometimes the hard part of the shayla is just even spotting what the sugya is. This one is pretty obvious, right? What's the issue? Teaching Torah to a non-Jew, right? So there's a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes, where the Gemara tells us that a guy who learns Torah is Chayiv Misa, similar to a guy Shashavas is Chayiv Misa. That's why when you have a Geirus candidate, the Geirus candidate doesn't keep all of Shabbos. They're Mechal one thing. They always, that's the old joke about the guy that was, the Geirus candidate that was carrying, and someone said, you know, there's an Erev here. You think I hold of the Erev, you know? Right? So that's the, so they always try to break Shabbos in one way or another. My father-in-law happens to be a very big expert in Zmanim. In fact, Rabbi Rakefet in the shir last week quoted him and said he is the world's greatest expert in Zmanim, which made my father-in-law happy forever. So Rabbi, he was in a shul, I think in Minnesota or something once, somewhere, and he was sitting next to a guy, and they started talking after davening, and the fellow said, he told him that he's not yet Jewish, that he's in the process of converting. And my father-in-law said, oh, so do you, like, in the Chal Shabbos, do you do, like, one thing? He said, yeah, he gave an exact zman, like, some number of minutes after Shkia on Friday night, that he lights a match, and that's it, and that's it, and then the rest of Shabbos he keeps. So my father-in-law started listing the shittos that hold that it's not yet Shabbos when he's doing that, and if he really wants to be machmir, he should wait another 25 minutes after that. Okay, so... So good. So the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that a non-Jew who learns Torah is chayv misa. Why? Because lanu marasha v'lo lahem, that Torah is a marasha for us. And it's not for the Umos HaOlam. The Gemara asks, then why isn't it listed in the Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach? What are the Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach? Right, there's a good mnemonic for the Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right? The big three, and Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Okay, now you figure out what that is. But it's not, learning Torah is not one of them. It's not one of the Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So the Gemara says, yes it is. It's included in Gezel, or it's included in Ara Marasa, in like Arayos. That a person is taking someone else's wife, that the Altikri Marasha El Ma'orasa, that the Torah is the Ma'orasa of Klal Yisrael, that we have this Erison with the Torah. That's the Rav's famous hasbid for his uncle. You know, the Rav of Salvation gave a very famous hasbid for his uncle, for the Briska Rav. And the vort that he said was that some people have Kiddushin with the Torah, and some people, very, very few people, have Nisuin with the Torah. He says, what's the difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin? You love your wife after Kiddushin, you love your wife after Nisuin. But after Nisuin, she doesn't even have to say anything. Nonverbal communication is there. You know exactly what's going through her mind, she knows exactly what's going through yours. You know what she needs, and she knows what you need, what you want. And that's Nisuin with the Torah. We all have a love for the Torah, hopefully. We all want to learn the Torah, so we all have Erisin with the Torah. Rav Soloveitchik said his uncle, the Briska Rav, had Nisuin with the Torah. But the Gemara tells us that a non-Jew learning Torah is Chayv Misa for this reason, that it's a violation of Nara Marasa on some level. So, and then the Gemara says, Rav Meir says that a guy who learns is like a Kohen Gadol, that a guy who learns Torah is you know, Torah is an unbelievable thing. It's like this great equalizer. No matter who you are, you're eligible for very high madrigos based on Talmud Torah. I just gave a share last night in Queens. I was talking about the commonalities between Torah and Tshuva, and there are a lot. There are a lot more than you think. That all indications are that one of the most effective forms of Tshuva is enhanced Talmud Torah. Even what we say every single day in Shemoneh Esrei, right? What's the bracha of Tshuva in Shemoneh Esrei? Hashiveinu, Avinu, Lasar Secha. Why not Hashiveinu Avinu L'mitzvah Secha? Hashiveinu Avinu L'cha? Or however you want to say, like people like to say all sorts of Bartlech and Tshuva. What are you returning to? Well, I'm returning to my inner self. I'm returning to the Rebbe. I'm returning to... But Hashiveinu Avinu L'sar Secha. And there are many, many, many other indications that Torah is a critical element of Tshuva. But one of the things that they have in common is that just like Tshuva is for anybody, there's other than the one parak in the Tshuva where the Rambam talks about the Dvarma Ma'akvimus of Tshuva, the Gemara tells us Rabbi Chanina ben Derdaya violated the most horrible of Averos, and Tshuva was still a possibility for him. Torah is possible for anybody. A person could be the lowest yichus in the world. A mamzer talmud chacham mishnah horios tells us is kodem lekoyin gadol amaretz, that it's a great, great equalizer. I mentioned that line. I gave a shiur in Boca Raton about a year ago about kidney donation and whether a person should choose, if you're given an option that you can give, you want to donate a kidney and you can give to whoever you want, should you dafka choose a kohen, a talmud chacham, right? Or should you just say, nah, whoever needs it, you know, just give it to whichever Jew needs it. So I gave the shiur and we discussed that mishnah, that kohen kodem levi, levi kodem Yisrael, but mamzer talmud chacham is kodem kohen gadol amaretz, and whether that applies, whether or not that applies, l'ni asaiti, does not apply to choosing a kidney recipient, but that's not for now. So Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai gave a kidney this past summer. He was at that shiur. So he emailed me that he was joking around. He said, I couldn't find a mamzer talmud chacham, but I'm giving my kidney to a kohen. So I told that to my father-in-law, and my father-in-law said, I could introduce him to some mamzer talmud chacham. So Torah is like this incredible equalizer. Torah has the ability to even take a guy. A guy who learns Torah becomes like Kohen Gadol. But the Gemara says, no, that's only within the Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Meaning a non-Jew is allowed to learn Torah, but only the Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So apparently, you see very clearly in the Gemara already that Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach is an exception to this Isser of learning Torah. The Ramban, in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Melachim, writes that, lo yasok ela b'shev mitzvos bilvat, And he says that a goy shasik b'torah is generally chayiv misa, so you should only do the sheva mitzvahs. And because the Mishnah explains, misa of course means misa b'dei shemayim. It's not going to be misas based in if you catch a non-Jew learning Torah. So certainly the South Korean girl comes to the class, he shouldn't teach the class and then, you know, take her to Beis Din, schlep her off to Beis Din. Whatever happens, happens. Now, that's as far as them learning Torah. What about teaching Torah? So there's a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel that tells us that Ein Moshen Divrei Torah Lo V'Dikchavim Shnemer Mishpatim Bal Yidom, that you can't be Moser Torah to Ovdikchavim because our Mishpatim, you shouldn't let them know, you shouldn't inform them of our Torah. So Tosfos asks the obvious kasha. Right, we already have a Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin that tells us that they're not allowed to learn Torah. So if I tell you, let's say, that there's an Isser in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat nevela, right? So no Jew is allowed to eat nevela. Do I need a separate Isser in the Torah that I'm not allowed to give somebody nevela? I don't need a separate Isser in the Torah. Why? We already have an Isser that covers that. What's it called? What? Lifnei. I'm not allowed to give him something that he's not allowed to do. It's a simple violation of Lifnei Iver. So Tosfos asks the kasha in Maseches Chagiga, and Tosfos says, no, it may not be Lifnei Iver, because if he could just go on YU Torah and listen to a shiur anyway. So I'm not enabling him to learn Torah. He's able to learn Torah without me. He's just choosing this venue over another venue. And Lifnei Iver is only when it's Treya V'Dinara, when the person can't do it without your help. Over here, the person is able to do it without you, so it wouldn't be Lifnei Iver. And presumably, it may still be an Isra of Messiah Midrabanan. Either Messiah Midrabanan doesn't apply to a non-Jew, which is very likely, or even if it would, Messiah Midrabanan is not as big of an Isra as Mishpatim Bal Yidom, which is derived from Pasuk. Right? So that's why we need a Gemara. So what are the exceptions? When are you allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew? So first of all, we know one exception right off the bat, right? Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is for sure permissible. So if the class were Sanhedrin and Tess, or were a study of Eivor Menachai, or something like that, it was something related to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, then for sure there would be no problem with teaching to a non-Jew. The Shilta Giborim in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Davav Amaral Bedapei Ariv, quotes from a Riaz that there's no issur to teach Nach. There's no issur to teach Nach. Why? Why no issur to teach Nach? So he says, because in Nach you're going to learn about the Nechamos for the Jewish people, you'll learn about how to respond to Apikorsim, you'll learn a lot of Musar, how to be Mashlim Darko. This is a very interesting idea. Rav Moshe writes in a Tshuva, what's probably obvious that a non-Jew is also obligated in Midos. That when it comes to basic midos, basic menschlichkeit, that's something that even non-Jews are obligated. It doesn't have to be counted among the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And if this is the kind of limud that's going to enhance one's midos, as opposed to just providing intellectual information, so then it would be mutter. In fact, Rav Dov Siafman, the Malam Dohoel, says all mussar stories in the Torah can be taught. Anything you could derive a mussar haskel from can be taught. And Maisa Nisim Shasa Hashem Li Yisrael, you could teach whatever helps people recognize the Yad Hashem, whatever helps people recognize the fallacy of Avodah Zarah, that's something that you can teach to Mosa Olam. The Mitziv has a tshuva, Meshiv Davar, in the Chelek Beis of Anayin Zayin, where he says, all Torah Shebichsav is mutter. Rav Shachter once spoke in my shul about business-related issues, workplace-related issues, and one of the questions that people asked about was, what if someone asks, questions about your religion, about your practice? Like, how much are you allowed to share? And most often this comes up if a person is taking another 2 days off for another 2 days of Yantif. Wait, it already was Sukkot, which I just learned about last week, the boss will say. So what is this one? So you'll say, oh no, this is Simchat Torah. This is where we celebrate receiving the Torah. And the boss will say, well, wait a second. I seem to recall sometime in June there was something about receiving the Torah and celebrating the Torah. Like, how many times are we gonna have holidays that celebrate the Torah? So how much are you allowed to describe? Are you allowed to explain. So Shachlis said, you should stick to what it says in Chumash. Stick to what it says in Torah Shirotzav, and in your descriptions of what things are. Of course, in order to do that, you need to know what it says in Torah Shirotzav and what's just a measure Shorman Chazal. But you know, to try to, it shouldn't be that difficult. You can open a Chumash and see what it says in Torah Shirotzav. You know, sometimes people give difficult psak in that when you say, oh, you could do this and not that, and people don't always know how to categorize things. L'mashal, there are people who give a psak when you go to Hawaii, which day to keep Shabbos. So the real psak is don't go to Hawaii unless you absolutely have to, right? I mean, or only go on days that are not a Safek Shabbos. But some people give the psak that on Sunday in Hawaii you should keep the Daraisas of Shabbos and not the Drabbanas. It's a wonderful psak. The only problem is you have to be Rabbi Akiva Eiger to know what the Doraisas are and what the Darabanans are. So that's you know, so, and if you're Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you're not going to be in Hawaii for Shabbos. So that's you know, it's not always a practical psak, but it is pretty practical that a person should be able to know what it says in Torah Shabbat Ksav and what's in Torah Shabbat Peh. Halakhic portions of Chumash, because the without the decoder of the Torah Shebal Peh, meaning that was the assumption that since it was meant to be written, it was available for everybody, and with the decoder of Torah Shebal Peh, that was the unique part for Klal Yisrael. Rav Avadya Yosef in Yabia Omer writes that he doesn't think that there's a chiluk anymore. No one learns Torah Shebal Peh without Torah Shebal Peh. Nowhere. Meaning, if you learn Chumash with Rashi, you're already learning Torah Shebal Peh. You know, a lot of times when it comes to women's learning. So people say, well, we're very makbid, we only do Torah Shabbat Ksav. Nobody does only Torah Shabbat Ksav. Maybe Satmar Chassidim. I remember I read once one of the biographies of Satmar Rebbe, and it says there that someone came complaining to the Rebbe that his daughter was in the Satmar Girls School, I forgot what they're called, and she had learned to write in Hebrew, Ani ohev es something. I don't know. I forgot what it was. It was like a very simple sentence, and it wasn't even grammatically correct because it was a girl. She wrote Ani ohev. But so the person came complaining to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was in his study, and his wife was outside, and the Rebbe heard a ruckus because it was the fellow was arguing with the Rebbetzin. So the Rebbe comes out and says, "What's going on?" And the Rebbetzin was saying, "This guy's a meshugana. He thinks his daughter can't even learn to write three words in Hebrew, that it's a problem." So the Rebbe said, "No, he's right. His heart is in the right place." Like, okay, that's pretty, you know, if you're going to be so makbid, because he was worried, because if she knows Hebrew, right, and she can't just read whatever, tzenorena in Yiddish or whatever, if she knows Hebrew, then she'll come to learn other things. So it's a gzeira, you know, so that's quite a madriga. But most of the time, in the frumest space Yaakovs in the world, they're learning Torah Shebal Peh. They don't call it Torah Shebal Peh, but the madriga that they're learning on in many of these schools is much, much higher than the madriga that probably any of us, you know, ever had to actually know in terms of Talmud Torah. But nevertheless, I digress. Rav Avadya Yosef in Yabi Omer suggests that you don't really have much of a difference nowadays. Now, the Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph tells us that about a very famous Gemara about a Nachri Echad, the Sha'avar Achari Beis HaMedrash. The guy was walking by Beis HaMedrash and he overheard the Ela Begadim, the Chosh, and the Ephod, and he heard that a Kohen Gadol gets these fancy Begadim, and he said, wow, I'd like some threads like that. So he wanted to convert. So he went to Shammai, and Shammai was, he asked Shammai to be Megayir Al-Manasha to Simeni Kohen Gadol. I want you to be Megayir me, just Al-Manasha, I become Kohen Gadol. Not asking for too much. I would just like to be Chief Rabbi day one, right? That's all I would like. And Shammai was Dachva Bamas Habinyan, and then Hillel was Megayir him. But he said, listen, you want to be the Melech, Lechu Lemol Tachsise Malchus. You want to be in this position, so you need to learn how it operates. So you have to go learn if you want to be Kohen Gadol. So the guy got to the Pasuk Vazara Karev Yumas, and he was told that even David Melech Yisrael is included in that Isser, that it doesn't matter who you are, and he then realized that he can't become the Kohen Gadol. So the Marsha on that Gemara understands that he learned Torah prior to the Geirus, but it's Mutter because he was Balagayir. meaning he was learning all this Torah while he was still a non-Jew, but that's okay, because he was coming to be Megayer. So again, that's another exception, that a person is allowed to learn Torah while they're in the process of conversion. And it's not like Shabbos, where there's an out. You know, you can learn how to keep Shabbos and strike that one match however many minutes my father-in-law tells you after Shkia, right? But by learning Torah, there's no real way around it. You need to learn in order to be able to do, in order to be able to know things. And this is like a standard psak of most batei din when it comes to of all batei din when it comes to gerim, that there's a whole curriculum of a wide variety of Torah. Remember years ago on the NCSY Kollel, there was a boy that was learning, this was many years ago, going back like 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, there was a friend of mine who was learning with a boy at NCSY Kollel, a public school kid from Texas, and they were even continuing afterwards, learning on the phone after the summer. And one day the kid called him up in December or something and said, "I don't want to learn anymore." So he said, "Why not? Everything's going so great. Why don't you want to learn anymore?" He's like, "I'm not interested. I'm not Jewish." "What do you mean? No, you're Jewish." He's like, no, "I'm not Jewish." And he said, "Why? What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you know, I was interested. My father's Jewish, and I was interested in thinking about conversion. And I went on the NCSY call. NCSY knew. They just didn't tell you, but they knew, and they got a psak. And that's what when he spoke to his advisors, that's what he found out, that they got a psak that this boy was serious about converting, and his father was frum at this point in his life, obviously not when the kid was born, and the kid was really considering it, so he had to learn. So what better place to learn and to try to acclimate to a frum community than to be with other kids who are also learning and who are also shomrei Torah mitzvahs?" But then he decided he doesn't want, and we're certainly not forcing anybody. So a person who's interested in converting certainly is allowed to learn Torah. Then we get to the one that the exception that's most nogea to us, the possible exception, most nogea to this shaila. The Sri Deish has a tshuva on this topic, and it's a very important tshuva because the Sri Deish himself was somewhat nogea bedavar because he was teaching in a university in Berlin, and some of his classes had some Jews in them, and some of them didn't. So he was teaching not only mixed company Jews and non-Jews, he was teaching Torah to non-Jews, a classroom full of non-Jews. And Sri Deish writes that if you teach Jews and non-Jews, or even in a university, or even totally non-Jews, he says it's mutter. Why? Because what's aser, he has a chiddush. B'derech kvius bi'iyun ubaha'amaka. That's what's aser. In a kavua way, with depth, with analysis. But to teach, and here's his quote, "Lahodio dine Torah ulahodiyam or ha'emes." Basic halachos and the basic hashkafa, he thinks that's mutter. Essentially, spreading Judaism is always good. Spreading the beliefs of Judaism, spreading the beliefs of the Ribbono Shel is good for humanity. Providing a framework for foreign ideals is not so good. Meaning, if you're giving them the skills with which to learn and then apply, you know, Avodah Zarah to it or to corrupt it, that's not so good. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva talks about having a non-Jew at your Seder, which is a whole different problem. Halacha Pesuk in Shulchan Aruch, is that one is not allowed to invite a non-Jew for a Yom Tov meal. For a Shabbos meal, yes. But for a Yom Tov meal, no. And the reason is, what's the reason? You know why you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew? Shem Yar B'Bishvila, right? You might cook extra for him, and the halach is, you're allowed to cook on Yontif for a Jew, but you're not allowed to cook on Yontif for a non-Jew. So we're afraid he might come, and you're going to want to provide him with something that, you know, you ask at the end of the meal, who would like tea? And he says, "Oh, I would like some tea." And then you're going to boil up some extra water. Or he's the only one that wants tea, and you're making, you're boiling up water just for him. So that's a legitimate concern. Generally, you're not allowed to. But aside from that, what happens at the Seder? At the Seder, it's an exercise in Talmud Torah. The whole Seder is an exercise in Talmud Torah. In fact, that's where Salvation explained at the beginning of the Haggadah, at the beginning of the Maggid, we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, I'm not going to sing it, Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Right? And Salvation explained that that's a Birchas HaTorah. We're saying a Birchas HaTorah on a unique form of Talmud Torah, that in different contexts, Talmud Torah normally takes on the form of sitting and learning, attending a shiur, classic. That's what our Birchas HaTorah is for in the morning. But every once in a while, we have a different form of Talmud Torah that comes up, And each unique form of Talmud Torah has a Birchas HaTorah associated with it. Most notably, a different form of Talmud Torah, Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. It's Talmud Torah, right? But it's not the classic way that you would learn Torah. So we're misaking a Birchas HaTorah, not relying on the Birchas HaTorah that you said in the morning. A special Birchas HaTorah. The Soloveitchik thought that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a unique form of Talmud Torah. And it therefore gets its own Birchas HaTorah. So Rav Moshe says, okay, so what are you going to do? You're at a Seder, and you're saying Divrei Torah the whole night. Okay, so half of what's said at the Seder doesn't really count, probably. You know, the karpa stands for carrots, radishes, parsley, you know, celery. Okay, that's, you know, don't worry about that. That's not Torah. But, you know, every gematria, whatever, you know, that's not all Torah. But there is a good amount of darshani psukim, and there's a good amount of Talmud Torah. So Rav Moshe says, if you have a guy at the Seder, it's pashut that you're allowed to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because your kavana is not to give it over to him, but to give it over to the Jewish people that are at the table. And that heter is very useful. That explains why art school is allowed to print English Gemaras. It explains why YU Torah is allowed to exist. I think years ago, a couple of years after YU Torah started, they did a story in one of the Jewish magazines about why, or maybe it was one of the student newspapers here, about, it was a kosher thing, about YU Torah, and they had a story that there was a non-Jew, I forgot from what country, that was listening to Rav Rosenzweig's shir every single day. So like, that's not simple. I mean, why are we allowed to do that? Why are we allowed to put it out there and make it available? Because we're making it available to everybody. The large majority of people that take advantage of it are Jewish people, and that's that heter. But the Sri Deish thinks that we have this additional heter, that there's, Sri Deish writes that there are three levels of limud, based on the Rambam and Tzimlach, and he says, level one is, that a non-Jew should not perform a mitzvah, including Talmud Torah, for religious reasons, outside of the Sheva Mitzvahs. Meaning, if a non-Jew does any mitzvah, including Talmud Torah, for the sake of, you know, making their own religion, their own understanding of religion, that's absolutely awesome. He says, to do a mitzvah, even Talmud Torah, out of curiosity, out of Avas Hashem, or something like that, that's mutter. He says, but if you're not doing it for the mitzvah, you're also not doing it for fun or for curiosity, you're just volunteering a mitzvah, then you could do that with other mitzvahs, you can't do that with Talmud Torah. That's how the Sri Deish understands. But the bottom line is, Sri Deish thinks that as long as you're careful to just keep it simple, halachos, the word of God, that would be mutter. I don't think what the Sri Deish's psak, however, is widely accepted. Rav Moshe's psak, I think, is widely accepted. I think Rav Moshe, if I recall correctly, I didn't have a chance to look it up, even as a tshuva about a guy who was teaching in a day school, an out-of-town day school, and it was like they had kids from all different kinds of homes, and some of the kids had mothers who had reformed conversions and things like that, where the kids aren't Jewish. So you're allowed to be a teacher in such a school. He said, if the majority of the kids are Jewish, then you're allowed to teach them. So what do we do about this guy? This guy's teaching in a JLIC, in NYU, and a girl who's clearly not Jewish shows up to the class. So is he allowed to teach them? So what would you say? Now that,
yes.
Yeah, so it seems possible that he's allowed to teach them, right? If you hold like Rav Moshe, it seems that he should be allowed to teach them. What about the chavrusa? The girl wants to learn the chavrusa. That's much harder, right? That l'chori you don't have an easy heter. So I had the opportunity to ask Rav Shechter today, and he said, so you should teach the gemaras that are in the Gan to the Sheva Mitzvahs. You should learn nashim nizikin with them. So I said, nashim? Yivamis? Like what exactly is that? So he said, teaching Nashim Zikin, that Nashim also counts because Arayos is, you know, that counts also. So learn Nashim Zikin, that would be okay. He said, that's the old joke that they say, that Nashim, the reason yeshivas only learn Nashim Zikin is because that's our Masorah from Yeshiva Shem Ve'eder. That the Yeshiva Shem Ve'eder was non-Jews, so they only learn Nashim Zikin. So we continue to only learn Nashim Nezikin. But he also suggested, and this is, the more I think about it, if it's done cleverly, it's a very good suggestion, that the advertising should make it more clear that it's for Jews. I don't know, maybe they should bold the J in JLIC, but maybe, or like, you know, sometimes the look, you can't say exclusively for Jews, no non-Jews wanted or something like that. But you could say, Jewish, question mark, come learn more about your heritage, you know, or something like that, where it's done in a non-threatening way, and the person sees it, and they'll realize that that's who the target audience is. Okay, we'll stop there, but I'll just give the short answer on the other question, without going through all of the issues. The way to approach the other shayla, the shayla about the open Orthodox slichos, the way to approach the shayla is as follows. First of all, you have to figure out what the halacha is about davening in a conservative shul, because worst case scenario, it would have the status of a conservative shul, right? And then you have to figure out whether open Orthodox shul is the same as a conservative shul, and then you have to figure out how bad is it, how usher is it, to cancel on somebody 2 days in advance when they were counting on you for something. At the end of the day, Rav Shechter's psak in that case was that, and this was my intuition, I really had already told the guy this, so I was very gratified that I got it right, which is rare, that not to cancel the gig, but obviously not to take such gigs in the future. But you can't leave them high and dry at that point. And, you know, he said, everyone needs slichas. We all need slicha and mechila for our aveiros, some more than others. So it's kedai to go help people achieve slicha and mechila. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.